and welcome. In his Independence Day speech, Prime Minister Modi boldly reiterated his government's ambition to take the Indian economy to $5 trillion in size over the next 5 years. The Prime Minister promised a high jump investment of 100 lakh crores in developing infrastructure over the next 5 year period. This at a time when the auto sector is facing its worst crisis in decades. In the real estate sector, the number of unsold homes have increased. And while the government needs more money, tax collection has grown by just 1.4%. Now, according to the numbers on the ground, entire sectors are in deep trouble, from auto to real estate, construction to telecom and banking and finance, apart from agriculture, which is spooking even normally stable sectors like FMCG. So we're asking tonight, is this $5 trillion economy target realistic or misplaced? And if the economy is slowing down, what is it that can revive growth? Joining us on the show, we have Hamsini Sivkumar, consumer insights expert, director of Leapfrog, former VP strategy and planning at JWT. We have Mihir Sharma, economist, columnist, author of Restart, The Last Chance for the Indian Economy. Venkesh Gulati, vice president, Federation of Automobile Dealers Association. And Sunny Kataria, he's a VP of the OLX Group. Needs no introduction. OLX, one of the most popular e-commerce platforms in India. Rohit Azad, professor of economics at JNU. Sameer Kochar, chairman of Scotch. The Scotch Group, which identifies itself as a private think tank dealing with socioeconomic issues, Dr. Geeta Bhatt, a political analyst affiliated with the RSS, and Mr. Gurcharan Das, economist, author, former CEO of Procter and Gamble. So I want to just get opening arguments from everyone and understand where all our panelists stand on this issue right now. Venkesh Gulati, to you first. When you see the headlines coming out of the auto sector, as we've seen over the past few weeks, keeping that in mind, when you heard the Prime Minister's proclamation at the Red Fort, what went through your mind? Is this government in denial that the economy is in trouble?
See, actually, the auto sector is in a bad shape as of now. It's already there in media. We are completing now 11 or 12 months of degrowth, and this is the worst July since 2001. So after listening to the Prime Minister, we had a hope that if they have given such statements, they will give some fiscal stimulus to the market to at least get that growth back. Because if you talk of the manufacturing sector, the auto sector comes around 57%, and auto sector is 7.8% of the GDP. So such a big sector cannot be left apart to cover that 5 trillion economy what they are suggesting. So we are hopeful that there would be some stimulus coming towards our way in future, maybe a month, 2 or 3 months, but it will be there somewhere.
Mihir, so the PM's speech has actually given hope to the auto sector, for example, and really that is the job, one would say, of the Prime Minister, to at least there's hope. But is it misplaced? Because where is this investment going to come from? Because Mr. Gulati is talking about some kind of a push to the sector. Does the government have the funds? Does it have the luxury, the space, or is it in a corner when it comes to finding money for that big push?
The government is very, very short of money. And I think one of the things that has emerged since the last budget was presented, and in many ways the government has tacitly accepted it, is that the tax revenues in the budget numbers were not exactly what we had received. They were 6 to 8 months old, they were an estimate of what we were going to get over the last year, and they were inaccurate. So the last budget that was presented essentially did not give us a correct picture of how much the government has to spend. The government has very little money in its arsenal. If it is going to start handing out fiscal stimuluses to individual sectors, and I agree the auto sector is in trouble, but essentially what it will be doing in order to hand out to individual sectors that are in trouble will be to borrow more. And if it starts borrowing more from the market in general, that means there's less money to actually invest. So it's caught in a bind here, right? If it starts handing out money to sectors that are in trouble, you're actually not going to see any investment recover, because that money is coming from somewhere, and it's coming from the same pool of savings that would otherwise go into investment. So the government has no easy way out of it.
So then what do you make of the PM's statement, reiterating what his government has said all along? And also calling anyone who's criticized this a professional pessimist.
Well, I think the Prime Minister has a habit of setting high targets, and not all those targets have been met, and not all those targets are likely to be met. He may think that it's his job to be aspirational and to reflect what people actually hope will happen, but I think it is broadly inaccurate.
Hamsini, aspirations have been something that's pushed the Indian economy in the past. The PM's job is to be aspirational. Where do you stand on the government's target? Is that achievable?
I, being a consumer insights expert or a cultural expert, I think there are many more worthy people who can answer that question on whether it's realistic or not. But the point that I would like to say is that modern economies are actually built off confidence. Sentiment and confidence is the fuel, the core fuel that drives modern economies. And if you are in the virtuous cycle of confidence, which means that consumers have the confidence that their incomes are going to grow, they have a brighter future, they will spend. Industrialists then have the confidence that demand will grow, and investors have the confidence that they will get the return. So getting the right level of confidence and making sure that that stays in the virtuous cycle and doesn't slide down into a vicious cycle of negative confidence, that's absolutely key. And perhaps that's the reason why this kind of a very bullish and very optimistic kind of speech and tone was set by the Prime Minister.
Setting aspirations, is there also a danger of setting them too high? And then when you fall, you have further to fall.
No, I mean, you can promise the moon. At this point in time, this is what it seems like. 5 trillion economy in another 5 years with the kind of degrowth that is taking place is unrealistic. There is no doubt about that. At the same time, I won't say that it is not possible. I mean, it depends on how you see the future, how as policy. And there I would like to disagree a little bit with what Mihir was saying. At this point in time, when you're in a vicious cycle, you need some counter-cyclical measures. And fiscal policy is one, which is the international market is not in your hands. You can't export to people who are not buying your goods. So ultimately, you need some domestic stimulus inside. That I don't think would lead to any problem with savings, because that expenditure itself creates income. That income will create tax income and as well as savings. So that is not what I would say as far as the fiscal stimulus is concerned. I would for sure say in the short run you need fiscal stimulus. It's another matter that this government won't do it because it's fixated with the FRBM. They will say if we don't have tax revenue, we can only increase it by 3.3%. Beyond that, the targets that they have set, which is in my opinion absolutely incorrect. That's not the economics you should follow.
Mr. Das?
Well, I'm very wary of this word fiscal stimulus. But let's just put the target. Let's come back to the target. The target of reaching 5 trillion from where we are today, 2.7, 2.8 trillion, would require us to grow at 8% in real terms and 12% in nominal terms per year.
Yeah.
Now, 4 quarters ago, we were at 8.2. Today, and the problem has been actually going, it's not right now, for the last 4 quarters, we have come plunged down to 5.8.
Hmm.
Just to, you know, for a lot of the viewers, these might seem like just numbers and not very big numbers to worry about. But in fact, there was a study, a somewhat older study, but it's worth doing a back of the envelope calculation based on that each percentage point growth in our economy creates 1.5 million jobs. Each job creates 3 indirect jobs. So 1.5 plus 4.5, 6 million jobs, 60 lakh jobs. And each job supports 5 people. That is 30 million, 3 crore people. You bring a smile to their faces if you grow by 1%. Now we have dropped by 2.5% almost. So you can just calculate the pain. And what I'm trying to say is there is real human pain behind these numbers, which look like small numbers. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, obviously, you have lower demand in the market. And India is a consumption-driven economy, so you have inflicted pain. Let me give you one more statistic. This is the pain for the consumer, the customer, but the pain for the company. You know, this is a somewhat less known statistic, which is that our corporate earnings in India, the pain of the to the corporations, corporate earnings in India were 7% of GDP in 2007.
Correct.
It so happened that America, US, also had 7% of GDP corporate earnings. Today, the corporate earnings are 2% of GDP. The US corporate earnings are 10% of GDP. Now, this also explains why there are lower taxes with the government, why there are lower the jobs have gone away, and why there's lower investment.
So corporate earnings also across the board have been falling in the last few quarters.
Yeah, and actually, not only few quarters, it's a longer term trend. So I just thought these two statistics bring out the suffering that is there. Now, about the target itself, we have grown 8% in the UPA 1. We grew at an average of 8% almost at that time. And so it's possible to do it. And the problem with the fiscal stimulus is, one, Mihir has just told us there's no money.
Yeah.
Even the numbers budgeted, we don't know where those money will come from. Now, assuming there was money, there's already a fiscal stimulus, meaning in the sense the government promised to spend 1 lakh crore in infrastructure over 5 years. So this year, 20 lakh crores.
Hmm.
If you can spend that,
yes,
you will create a fiscal stimulus.
Sure.
And you will create the jobs. You will create the demand. So it is possible. And you could go back. If you do it well, you continue your housing program, which also is a very job-creating program, which creates a huge number of jobs.
But which has also slowed down the housing sector.
So, affordable.
You're saying it's possible. But where is this 20 lakh crores going to come every year? Geeta, but come in over here. 8% growth is what is required to achieve this goal of a $5 trillion economy. Currently, growth at 5.8. So the Congress, for example, is asking and saying that this is just grandstanding. Not even aspirational, but it's grandstanding by the PM. It's disingenuous. They're asking the simple question, where is this money coming from?
Well, Sarah, you see, there are challenges. I mean, no one can deny that. But we also need to look at the things in this perspective that, you know, in 2014, when we had an economy of about 1.8 trillion, at that time, when the government came, there was a lot of, you know, baggage which came along, you know, from the predecessor.
This government is in its second term.
Yeah, I'm coming.
We're not talking about
first
term.
If I can have a minute to speak, I think then you can counter me on that. So you see, there were many NPAs. I mean, there were many issues. Like, for example, you know, there were these oil bonds for which the government has to pay nearly 2,000 crores to the Iran government because the previous government has just taken credit over oil. You know, so the point is that with this kind of a baggage, the past 5 years have been, you know, reasonably fairly well. But since the last quarter, when we saw that how the slowdown has taken place, the questions have arisen. There is no doubt that the automobile sector is facing many challenges, which other panelists have already pointed out. But painting a picture where you know, the whole manufacturing scenario is at a gloom, that narrative, I think, may be a little incorrect, because there are many sectors which are doing pretty reasonably well. If you try to see vis-a-vis 2018 April June and vis-a-vis 2019 April June, for example, the apparel industry is doing very well. The pharmaceutical industry is doing very well. Along with this, the botanical
Olex,
products
Sunny
kind
Kataria
of thing,
here, he can
they are doing. Yeah, I mean, these are some of the, even the steel. Steel manufacturing.
Sure,
these
sure.
are the units which are doing.
Okay, I'll go for the Sunny, but
it's doing well.
It is a completely separate debate about whether this government had baggage or not, and whether that argument still holds. My question to you is: if one were to assume for now there is baggage, given the problems on the ground, why is the government then setting such unrealistic targets?
You see, I mean, you know, there can be, like, for example, the targets which people, so one examples were that the kind of, you know, there has to be some kind of a fiscal intervention has to be there. You see, if you remember in 2010-11, at that time also there was, you know, these economic boosters by that then government, these kind of challenges were faced, it was given. But somehow it did not help. In fact, inflation at that time, became double digit. And there was a slowdown in the economy at that time also. So trying to, yes, of course, there are challenges that need to be faced. Alternatives have to be looked at.
So this government is not in denial about the challenges.
It is something which is, there is an aspiration. We are a young country where 50% of the population is at, you know, 25 and below. So there is an aspiration to become an economy of, you know, 5 trillion by 2024. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Sunny Kataria, come in here. India among the two top growth markets for OLX. Where do you stand? How is the economy doing right now?
So I'll bring in a little bit different perspective here. So in auto industry, what we've seen in India, and India is very different to the countries of the West, where motorization rate is only 30 or 35 per 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. So automobile or car or bike, for instance, is a very, very aspirational purchase in India. It's not a means from getting from point A to point B. Whenever there is this whole, you know, decline in the auto industry is what we have seen. We saw a slump in 2009, then 14. We have seen that the market kind of picks up after that. In pre-owned cars specifically, so we run this business in 40-odd countries across the world, the marketplaces that we have. And what we have seen is that whenever there is some kind of decline or there is some kind of stress in the economy, if I were to call it, the used economy just kind of springs up. It spirals up. And we have seen this in used cars as well.
Correct.
In used cars specifically,
cars,
white goods, everything. Used cars specifically, we have seen around, and we are one of the largest players in the country in used cars. We have seen 16% growth in terms of listings and 20% growth in demand in the last 3 months. However, I mean, just to kind of, you know, set the perspective here, is that it doesn't mean that we will carry on this growth throughout. At the end of the day, most of our supply comes from new cars. Hmm. The cars which are sold 3 years back are the cars which are coming into the system today. And today, used cars do throw a very attractive deal to the customers because they have to pay 20-30% less. At the same time, they get cars which are with insurance, with warranty, and it's an easy thing for them. Whereas for new cars, the whole thing is much bigger.
But a spike in the sales of used goods is another sign that the economy is under stress, is what you're saying. When used goods do well, it's a sign that the economy is
under
stress. We
have seen these trends, whether it was Argentina which saw stress or whether it was Dubai where we saw similar trends happening.
Okay. Sameer Kocher, you've put together a series of essays by leading economists, etc., called India 2030. I'm presuming that's the book you brought with you. But in 2030, do you see this government having achieved this dream? Or, you know, is it going to be a reality? Is it going to stay just that, a pipe dream?
I'm an optimist. So if you ask me whether this 10 trillion by 2030 is possible, yes, of course it is possible.
How?
If the question, so, you know, you actually have to, so whether you talk about 10 trillion in 2030 or you talk about 5 trillion in 2024, if you look at the economic factors, some of that I had shared with Gurcharan Nahi, you know, brought it out that you have to grow at 8%, 12% has to be nominal growth. Going a step lower, you actually have to have capital formation of 32%.
Hmm.
Now, has 32% capital formation never happened in India? The answer is yes, we've had even 36%. Okay. You also need an incremental capital to output ratio of 4. Is it very ambitious? The answer is no, we've even seen 6. So, Mihir talked about that, where is the money? You know, there is no money. I agree, currently there is a fiscal problem, but has every recourse to getting money been exhausted? The answer is no. The game is still wide open. Okay. So can this money be generated? The answer is yes. Can the investments come in? The answer is yes. Can it even theoretically possible that this is possible? The answer is an absolute yes. But to do 5 trillion and do nothing and do this gloom and doom scenario, we are just going to put the entire country into depression, and all of us have to be very wary of doing that. So if you ask me, where is the going to money come from? First area is that our exemptions on income tax and other things itself total to about 2 lakh crores.
Hmm.
Why should we not get rid of all of them? This country has got zero estate duty. I was reading some industrialist is going to hand over 50 billion to his son. What does the country get? Why there is no estate duty? Okay. Why does software export still need income tax break? They take income tax break, they make money, and then they donate to NGOs and they buy political power. Why should that be allowed? then why should the tax base not be widened? Why should GST not be rationalized? So very far from it. The second thing is, so this is the measures that government has very well within its control. If they want to do it, they can do it. Second is, can they not borrow? There was this very terrible idea which came out of finance ministry, and I think one of the big problems that we've had is that we've had a severe bureaucratic talent deficit in the Ministry of Finance, and I'm really happy that the Economic Affairs Secretary has changed because he came up with the idea of borrowing in dollars. But we can borrow very much in rupees. Why can't there be masala bonds, rupee bonds that are listed on the GIFT City and they're traded internationally? Who stops you from doing that? Similarly, if you look at most of this gloom and doom is come out of, he's talked about revenue deficit, the number's not real. So if economic situation is not real and the Economic Affairs Secretary goes, should the Revenue Secretary not take responsibility? More so, if his numbers are not happening, then on top of that, he's making CSR as a tax which is being imposed on the country. Then he is bringing FPIs into the ambit of this thing. So this is harakiri. So do you think, is this the political leadership doing it? The answer is no, absolutely not. So while it is theoretically possible, and we have seen the political will to move the bureaucracy if it is required, the question is, can Modi, Shah, Nirmala Sitharaman, you know, this trilogy can bring it all together? I'd say I am still an optimist on that.
So
they can
bet
bring
on
it.
Them. Okay. Yeah, they can bring Mr. it together. Mr. Das, is this why we're hearing corporate voices speak up more in the recent past about the gravity of the economic crisis? Because what we're expecting then, should one be expecting, you know, inheritance tax, the CSR, already these announcements being made, they're cracking down majorly on corporates. And yeah, perhaps given the large inequality that we see in the country, this is required.
Yeah. Well, first, let me reiterate that I also believe, I'm an optimist, and I do believe that if any country can do this kind of journey, India is there. But it will require a huge change in the mindset. And the mindset is pointed out to a great extent is the bureaucracy. And let me give you a few examples. We talked about the mindset which criminalized CSR. Now imagine what kind of a perverse mind must have been there, which is making voluntary giving into a criminal activity. There's another example I'll tell you, and this is very much one of the largest buyers in the world came to India and went to China. In China, of course, that person got red carpet treatment, was picked up at the airport by the mayor of the city, and so on. He was treated like a prince. Imagine this person is capable of putting the country into with the supply chain of the world. In India, this person arrives. A meeting that was fixed a month ago, earlier, the official that he had to meet was 1.5 hours late. He waited for 1.5 hours. Secondly, the person who was totally unprepared, he didn't even know what this man is come to talk to, whereas everything was provided, decided in advance. And then after this totally ineffective meeting, which could change the fortune of our exports, a meeting like this, this person says, oh, but you'll have to come to India. We are a big market. You have no choice. That kind of arrogance, red tape. The Chinese give a red carpet. India gives you red tape.
So that, the promises of ease of business,
there is improvement in the ease of business.
But is there explain to me why we're hearing so many people who once were even considered to be cheerleaders for this government, for example, Mohandas Pai. We heard Kiran Majumdar Shaw speak up about the fear of these income tax officers trying to false being made, blackmailing.
Yeah, this budget has been there was already a sentiment problem of trust deficit, and this budget has really made it much worse, because whether it's the foreign portfolio investors, you've just gone and attacked them and they've pulled out money and the stock market has tanked. But the worst consequences of these, and I could give you many more examples like this, the kind of mindset that produced the angel tax has gone away. But how can you tax somebody who's an investor? Anyway, my point here is that a lot of people are leaving India now. That's what we should worry about. There, I won't mention names, but the too many of my friends have said, you know, maybe this has gone too far. Why don't I just go and make my residence in Dubai or Singapore? The tax rate is 15%, and I'm not harassed by the tax department. And this harassment by the tax department, the stories of after the Siddharth
the death of,
incident,
yes, Cafe Coffee Day.
Yeah, after that incident, now this big other stories are beginning to come out.
It's opened up that story.
What I mean. I think a fundamental change in attitude is required. The targets themselves are achievable, but they would require a mindset change. And money also. Money, I would say, you know, there are 1,825 public sector units in the central and the state governments. 25% are zero. They're not producing anything or they're totally dysfunctional. We are spending on these 25% of the budget of the center and the states goes into supporting these enterprises. So just get rid of them. And you will be able to not only save money, but you'll be able to make money. So there are ways of raising money.
Okay, let's get in. We have somebody here in the audience. Rupa, aap kya karte ho?
मैं डोर टू डोर सर्विस करती हूँ. मैं ब्यूटी पार्लर का काम करती हूँ और जो कि आजकल बिल्कुल लोगों के पास पैसे नहीं है तो बिल्कुल खाली हो चुकी हूँ मैं और मेरी 3 बेटियाँ हैं तो मैं कैसे घर चलाऊँ ये मुझे बताइए. कि जैसे पहले मैं काम करती थी मेरे पास बहुत सारे बुकिंग्स होते थे, अब तो कॉल ही नहीं आती है. इतनी सारी कंपटीशन हो गई लोगों के पास, अच्छा आप इतना डिस्काउंट दे दो, पर इतना महंगाई हो चुका कि मैं भी कहाँ से दूँ डिस्काउंट ना.
आई डोंट वांट टू साउंड फ्रिवोलस बट इंडिया में कहते हैं स्पेशली इन इंडिया the beauticians, you know, business is never supposed to go down. I think it's called the underwear index, maybe similar to that. Magar aapki experience bataiye pichle saalon mein aur ab
mein
kya farak hai.
Main 20 saal se trade mein hu aur main 3-4 saal mein ye dekh rahi hu ki bilkul khali ho chuka hai. Jo acche log the padhe likhe the wo to India ko chhod ke chale gaye. Wo kehte hain yahan pe kuch hai hi nahi aur itna gandgi phail chuki hai, crime itna ho chuka hai ki kehte hain yahan koi bacche safe nahi hai. तो वो तो मेरे सारे क्लाइंट चले गए. जो थोड़े बहुत है उसमें इतने कंपटीशन है कि मतलब समझ में नहीं आता कि मैं क्या करूँ. और मेरे पास इतने पैसे नहीं कि मैं दुकान खोलूँ, पर दुकान में मैं जाती हूँ सबके पास तो कि कोई काम नहीं है, सबके सब ठप पड़े हुए हैं. घर कैसे चलाना है मुझे नहीं पता.
नहीं, मोदी जी कहते हैं दैट एंटरप्रेन्योर्स आर इंडियाज़ ग्रोथ एम्बेसडर्स. मतलब कि ये जो आपकी बिजनेस जैसे चलेगी फ्री इंडिया की ग्रोथ होगी. तो जब मोदी जी कहते हैं कि अब 5 साल में हमारी $5 trillion इकोनॉमी होगी तो आप क्या सोचते हैं, आपको लगता है ये सच होगा?
एक बार बताइए, जब अभी नहीं चल रहा है, जब बच्चे भूखे मर जाएंगे तो 5 साल बाद क्या होगा? 5 साल के लिए हम जिंदा रहेंगे? जब बच्चों को खाना नहीं मिलेगा, दूध नहीं मिलेगा, घर में कोई साफ सफाई नहीं होगी तो हम कहाँ से क्या करेंगे?
नहीं, खाना नहीं मिलेगा, दूध नहीं
जब
मिलेगा,
पैसे
क्या
नहीं
आप ये बेसिक
जब पैसे
के
नहीं
ऊपर भी आपकी एक्सपेंडिचर कम हो रही है?
जब पैसे नहीं होंगे, हम कमाएंगे नहीं तो घर कैसे चलेगा?
नहीं, आप बताइए आपने क्या किस चीजों पे आपने कट डाउन की है? अगर आप कह रहे हो घर नहीं चला पा रहे हो, कुछ ना कुछ तो कट करना पड़ेगा ना.
तो मैम कट किस चीज पे करें बताइए, फालतू तो हमारा कोई खर्चा है भी नहीं.
नहीं, आप बताओ आपने क्या किया है फिर, अगर पैसे कम आ रहे हैं आपके मंथली इनकम?
जो मंथली इनकम हम कमा रहे थे लेकिन अब वो नहीं है तो समझ में नहीं आ रहा कि हम कर रहे तो क्या करें. जो हमारे पास जुड़े हुए थे वो भी निकल गया.
गीताबान, दिस इज वी हैव सीन सिमिलर स्टेटमेंट्स कम आउट फ्रॉम यू नो द हेड ऑफ ब्रिटानिया सेइंग दैट इवन द सेल ऑफ 5 rupee बिस्किट्स पीपल आर नाउ थिंकिंग ट्वाइस बिफोर दे मेक दीज सिंपल परचेसेस.
देखिए, आपने कुछ बात कही, मैं पूरी संवेदनशीलता आपके जो विषय आपने रखा है और उसमें हो सकता है मतलब कुछ सच्चाई भी हो, मैं मानती हूँ इस बात को. एक लेकिन जो विषय इन्होंने रखा सर, व्हाट आई वांट टू बेसिकली से इज दैट यू नो इन टर्म्स ऑफ लाइक शी आल्सो टॉक्ड अबाउट यू नो द काइंड दैट देयर इज लॉट ऑफ क्राइम इन द एंड पीपल आर लीविंग द कंट्री एंड यू नो एजुकेटेड पीपल आर नॉट सेइंग. आई थिंक वी नीड टू लुक एट इट यू नो look at it in a little bit more realistic way, because the governments, you know, irrespective of whichever government is there, governments can do a lot, but they cannot do everything. There are a lot of things as a society also, there are many issues, you know, which we have to introspect, you know, and inculcate. There are many things related to that. However, at the same time, when you have raised this issue, for example, I would just like to give one example here. Like NBFCs, you know, they are being talked about, especially giving, say, there is a, you know, liquidity crisis over there, and in terms of that, you know, how automobile industry, oh, that is also one reason that people are not buying. But at the same time, if you look at the data of the smart mobile phones, which also is a very high-end product for which people take loans, you know, there is, if you look at the data of that in April, June, there is a 37 million smartphone units have been sold. There is an increase of almost 10% of a sale with respect to the previous data. So, I mean, the picture is not so gloomy. There are, if you look in terms of refrigerators, there is a sale, 10% rise in the sale vis-a-vis if you look in terms of the last year quarter. Similarly, air conditioners, there is an increase in all, I think, around 15%. So, it is not so gloomy. There are issues, there are challenges, there is no doubt about it, which needs to be addressed. But it is not so gloomy as it is being perceived to be.
आपने बोला कि आपको काम नहीं चल रहा है आपका, आपका तीन साल से नहीं चल रहा, चार साल से नहीं चल रहा, बजट के बाद बंद हुआ, ये तो नहीं हुआ?
नहीं, बजट के बाद ही हुआ है, क्योंकि लोगों के
पास पैसे नहीं। आप तो कह रहे तीन चार साल से काम बंद है, अभी बजट को तो दो महीना हुआ है।
बजट का तो दो महीना हुआ, इससे पहले जो है कि टैक्स लगे, इससे पहले नोटबंदी हुआ, इन सब के वजह से।
मैं ये समझ रहा हूँ कि तीन चार साल से तकलीफ है बजट के बाद से,
लोगों के पास बिल्कुल पैसे नहीं।
तो जो हाँ बिल्कुल पैसे नहीं, ये मैं मान रहा हूँ, लोगों के पास बिल्कुल पैसे एक्चुअली 2009 से नहीं है, ये बजट के
2009 से मेरे पास,
मैं बता रहा हूँ क्योंकि जो चीजें हुई
पर सर ये भी तो बता
आपकी, रहे हैं आपकी आपकी कम होती जा रही है 2009 से लेके आज तक। ये जो बजट के बाद शोर मचा, जो सहरा ने सवाल पूछा कि ये बड़े बड़े जो चीयर लीडर्स थे बोलते थे सरकार बड़ी अच्छी है, अब शोर क्यों मचा रहे हैं? एक हिंदी में कहावत है, जिसके पाँव ना फूटी बिवाई वो क्या जाने पीर पर आई। ये एफपीआई टैक्स उन पे अब लगा, उनकी प्रॉब्लम अब हुई।
सर प्लीज डोंट बी डिसमिसिव ऑफ हर, लेट्स नॉट डू मैन
स्पीकिंग। नो नो, आई एम नॉट बीइंग डिसमिसिव एट ऑल, आई एम सेइंग आई एम इन द सेम बोट।
हर एब्सोल्यूट एक्सपीरियंस टू टेल हर दैट शी इज हैविंग प्रॉब्लम्स।
आई थिंक इफ देयर वाज वन वे ऑफ एक्सप्लेनिंग द इकॉनमी, शी हैज पुट इट एब्सोल्युटली करेक्टली, दैट्स द एलिफेंट इन द रूम। दिस इकॉनमी इज नॉट प्रोड्यूसिंग इनकम फॉर अ लार्ज प्रोपोर्शन ऑफ आवर पॉपुलेशन।
दैट इंक्लूड्स,
इफ यू लुक एट द नो, इफ यू लुक एट द रूरल इकॉनमी, the rate of growth of incomes in the rural economy has been zero in the last 5 years. Where do you expect the demand to come from? That's the elephant in the room, and she's absolutely correct on that.
So just to answer you, my own income has come down 50% in this financial year. I've just closed down one office. I've sacked 20% of my people. That is also real.
No,
the
absolutely.
Point I am trying to make is jo chote log hain aur jo MSME hain, unko ye sab cheezein jhelte jhelte 6 saal ho gaye hain. ये बड़े बड़े लोगों ने शोर मचाना आज शुरू किया क्योंकि उनका इनकम टैक्स बढ़ गया।
छोटे बड़े लोग नहीं, कम
नहीं, नहीं मैं बता रहा हूँ, जो एमएसएमई की प्रॉब्लम है, सबसे बड़ी समस्या है।
हाँ,
छोटे बड़े ना कहें तो बेहतर है।
मैं
इनकम के हिसाब से बोल
रहा था कि आपका खुद का कमाई नहीं था।
किसका?
आपका खुद का कमाई नहीं था, आपने बाप दादाओं के रास्ते किया।
नहीं जी, मैं तो
मेहनत कीजिए फिर पता चला कितनी मेहनत से।
मैडम मेरी आप जीवनी पढ़ लीजिए, मैं कुली था, मैं सामान उठाता था, पढ़ा लिखा भी नहीं।
ताज होटल
में सामान उठाता नहीं, ये तो मैं नहीं मानूंगा। मैंने एक एक पैसा अपनी मेहनत से कमाया।
देखिए
मेरी माँ बाप दोनों हैंडीकैप थे,
बट ऑल राइट,
एक मिनट,
ओके,
तो इसको आप छोटा मत कीजिए। मैं बहुत गरीबी से उठ के आया हूँ।
उस्मान
अंसारी सदर बाजार से हूँ, जो एशिया की नंबर वन मार्केट है, और पहले भी थी और आज भी थी, आज भी। मगर बात यह है, अभी अर्श की बात चल रही है, अभी फर्श पे, ज़मीन पर ग्राउंड ज़ीरो की रिपोर्ट इन्हें पता ही नहीं है कि ग्राउंड ज़ीरो पे है क्या। ग्राउंड ज़ीरो पे आप आके देखें कि सदर बाज़ार की पोजीशन क्या होगी, जो एशिया की नंबर वन होलसेल मार्केट होती थी, आज वहाँ के लोग कर्ज ले रहे हैं क्योंकि GST, अभी उन्हें GST का ही नहीं पता। अब वो मार कोई क्लियर कराते हैं तो जब कस्टम पर छुड़ाने जाते हैं तो उनसे 12% हमने डिक्लेयर किया है तो 18% लेते हैं। मजबूरी है कि हम नहीं छुड़ाएंगे तो वो क्या होगा, डैमेज चार्ज लगेगा, और उसके अलावा नदर चार्ज जोड़ देंगे, जिस कारण हमें मजबूरी में उठाना पड़ता है माल। वो तो अभी GST का मीनिंग, सभी GST जिन्होंने बनाया है उनको ही नहीं पता कि GST है क्या। तो अभी कई हम कह रहे हैं 3 स्लेब होना चाहिए, 12, 6, 12, 18 होना चाहिए। अभी कहीं कुछ है, 12 में आप किसी चीज़ को क्लियर कर रहे हो और हम जाते हैं वहाँ पर कस्टम ड्यूटी, वो कहता है 18 पे क्लियर होगा, हमें तो खुद नहीं पता। और सेकंड, आप जीरो की रिपोर्ट, अब ज़मीन पे देखें आप, 500 रुपये वाला जो आदमी आता है, 500 रुपये माल लेता है रास्ते में, उसको चेक करते हैं, आज ही बिल दिखाओ। अब वो कहाँ से बिल लाएगा, गरीब आदमी कहाँ से बिल दिखाएगा? अभी आप लोगों ने सिस्टम ही सही नहीं है, और उस कारण जो है आज हमारी मार्केट में लोग कर्ज़दार हो रहे हैं, और जगह जगह लोग जो एक महीने में पेमेंट आ जाती थी रिटर्न, आज छः महीने में पेमेंट नहीं आ रही है। जो 10 लाख रुपए लगाए काम कर रहा था, आज वो भी 1 लाख रुपए क्या 50,000 का आदमी नहीं रहा। आप अपनी बात कर रहे हैं, ज़मीन पर जाके देखिए, आप बड़े बड़े स्ट्रक्चर और बड़ी बड़ी कंपनियों के मालिक हैं, मगर ज़मीन पर जो आदमी एक ज़मीन से उठता है, ज़मीन से पटरी लगा के मेहनत करता है, उसकी भी देखिए ना।
रियलिटीज ऑन द ग्राउंड एंड इट्स नॉट अ सिंगल सॉल्यूशन और अ प्रॉब्लम, इट्स अ कॉकटेल ऑफ अ नंबर ऑफ थिंग्स। बट मिहिर, इफ यू कैन, यू नो, व्हेन रूपा सेड, she talked about crime going up and people leaving, maybe a generalization given her only her own personal experience, but it reminded me a little bit, or I thought of that Mr. Ratan Roy, I think it was, who had talked about India going in for a structural crisis, and that created a lot of like headlines and furor. And he said that in the end, because we can't just be depending on consumption to fuel our growth, and that will mean that in the end we're not going to be a South Korea, or we're not going to be a China, but we're actually going to be a Brazil, where we have a middle income economy. I may not have all the economic terms, just help me out here, but you know, we'll have rising crime, and we're going to be headed the Brazil way, not the China way.
So you mean a middle income economy with a crisis of inequality and of investment, which is what Brazil is.
And a middle income trap.
And a middle income trap, yeah. So that is what Ratan was talking about. Look, I've heard a lot about, I mean, from everyone wants to be optimistic. And I think, yes, India is the kind of country which is sort of young and, you know, it's always underperformed so far. So obviously we're going to overperform at some point, right? So that's the optimism there. But frankly, at this point, optimism is dangerous. And optimism is dangerous because it leads to the kind of overconfidence and arrogance that Gurcharan was talking about. If you assume that, you know, if we, without doing anything very hard, we will in fact get to 5 trillion, 10 trillion, at good, this thing, you know, we'll eventually wind up as South Korea or even as China, where it's not going to happen. And we are at the position, at this point, where unless we have a certain amount of urgency, unless we accept that the problems aren't, you know, since 2009, since 2004, they've multiplied and we have very specific structural problems at the moment, all right? We can't go around saying there are other ways to raise money, because frankly that leads to tax terrorism and again to capital flight and to people leaving. We have to understand that there is very, very serious grounds for concern about not just the next 2 years, but the next 5 years and the next 15, all right? And unless we fix it right now, the generation that is going into the job market right now, which is a generation that in other countries has turned them rich.
Yes.
All right. This bulge generation is what other countries have ridden to become high income countries. Unless we do it immediately, we'll miss the boat and be middle income forever.
Well, let's go across to that generation. We have some of them here because there seems to be a lot of confidence. Anyone? There seems to be a lot of confidence in the government. I mean, simply going by the fact that the government was re-elected on such a huge like margin.
Majority.
Let's get some reactions.
Okay, so my question is to you. My name is Pratiksha. And sir, the government, this government, even the previous government, said they have always focused on erasing the farmers' taxes and, you know, the debts of farmers. So why don't we actually focus on building new infrastructures, getting them, providing them with more technology? Don't you think that would be a good point to actually, you know,
absolutely,
achieve the goal of 5 trillion economy?
Okay, let's get more reaction, because the slowdown in consumption is actually coming from the rural sectors, right?
Both.
So an RBI survey which I read that in Mumbai, the average cost of a house is equal to around 74 monthly incomes. Like, I could not even imagine the plight of a normal common Mumbaikar. But do you think that this is indicative of a larger overvaluation of the housing market, perhaps?
Anyone else? Go ahead, pass it on.
Hey, so hi, I'm Aradhya Dagar from the Finance and Investment Cell of the Sriram College of Commerce. So my question is, the panel seems to be very optimistic on the demographic dividend that we have. So, just riding on this wave of optimism is a good strategy while hiding from the real facts and figures. Isn't it not just deferring our plight and maybe even compounding it?
Okay, go ahead.
What I've seen on the ground level, that people are more into debts, and without the circulation of money, we'll go into more vicious circle of this. So, if we are being optimistic, and this would take another 5 years, as she said, till then 5 years, what are we going to do? What are the small traders going to do?
Hamchini, come in here.
Optimism is dangerous.
At this point where we are in this economy, hold on, let Hamchini come in.
Yes, I do agree, because optimism can lead to some of the kinds of things that Gurcharan spoke about, which is a belief that it's our natural right that things will happen. That is not the case, because countries which have actually transitioned from low income to middle income, and then we haven't yet completed that transition to reach upper income levels. So, yeah, I think actually humility and maybe a little more realism would serve us in good stead.
No, but I just want to play devil's advocate, either Mihir. You know, maybe we can allow this to cheer ourselves up. We were living in a bubble. The bubble needs to burst. This slump will lead to cheaper cars, second-hand cars, cheaper bikes. We can, the housing sector will finally come to realistic numbers. We can buy homes and we can at least think to ourselves that yes, we're living the good life. We all own homes now.
Sarah, you're making a category error, all right, which I think a lot of people in government are also making. We are at the bottom, perhaps, of a business cycle, of a cyclical downturn, which means that, you know, which happens in every economy in the world. At some point, you know, things get sorted out at the bottom of the trough, and you start growing again, right? But we are. The larger problem is that we are also in a structural problem, which is that we are not being able to raise investment to the levels that we needed, to grow into a high-income economy. And those levels we were talked about earlier, it needs to be 34-36% of GDP. That structural problem has to be addressed alongside the cyclical problem. Yeah. And one of the problems that we have is that a lot of the ways that we would like to address the cyclical problem, you know, fix what the sector would want, throw a little bit of money at various people in troubled parts of the country, the ways, if you try and fix that cyclical problem, you're not addressing the structural problem. So there is, we're really in a bit of a tight trap.
No, okay, but would you, can we at least, Rohit, you know, admit the government is trying its best. It's tried everything, you know, economic reforms, GST, however it's worked out on the ground, demonetization, infusing banks with crores, restructuring ILFS, you have laws like insolvency, bankruptcy code. They're doing everything they can to attract foreign investment.
No, this IBC code, I mean, I can say if you're writing loans off, that's not solving the problem, right? So, for example, banks, public sector banks, and I absolutely agree with Mehr on that what you're trying to solve is at best just trying to change the books of the banks. So you have State Bank of India, you write their loans off. Obviously, if you write them off, it will not show up on your books, but that doesn't solve the basic problem with which it started. And there, I would say, going back to the path that the UPA one did is also not a good solution. A credit-driven economy will always have this problem. A solution that is required at this moment in time is to think in terms of how you increase the incomes of your own people, how to increase employment in the economy, and to have investment-driven growth which creates these, not a credit-driven boom.
Venkesh? Okay, go ahead, Sunny.
Yeah, so the point which I just wanted to make is, I mean, we are talking about $5 trillion and everything. I mean, that's 5 years away. Today, there is a problem which is here and now.
Yes.
I mean, if we talk about auto sector in specific, I think ma'am spoke about the mobile sector where some manufacturers have invested, but auto as a sector is a place where everybody needs to set up manufacturing capacities. Now, the Volkswagen, the Renault, the Nissans of the world have set up thousands of units of manufacturing capacity in India, which are not being used to the extent that they planned. Hmm. That's majorly because of the fact that, you know, 70-80% of the market is controlled by the Japanese and the Korean manufacturers. But what happens if these guys don't see an uptick? Because we are comparing everything from last year. Hmm. Now, imagine that these guys have invested or made huge investment this year, thinking that they will achieve the numbers in the future. I think somebody in the panel spoke about that someday India will grow to the number that they expected. And those numbers, if they don't come soon, it'll be, you know, if these people start backing off, the Volkswagen, the Nissans, the Renaults, if they start leaving the country, then what happens? I mean, that'll be a scary situation to look at. So in my opinion, we have spoken about structural, we have spoken about other reforms, but there is a need of short-term reform. There is a need of some kind of stimulus. It'll obviously boost confidence in the economy. And I am a firm believer that, you know, that Indian economies, if it is given the right stimulus at the right time, it'll at least start showing the trends that it's supposed to.
Okay, well, one of the other sectors that we haven't touched upon that we need to is real estate. Sir, aap kya karte ho aur
आपकी एक्सपीरियंस के बारे में
बताएं। मैं इंटीरियर का काम करता हूं, कॉन्ट्रैक्टर हूं मैं। जैसा कि मैम ने बताया कि मोबाइल फोन की सेल बढ़ गई, स्मार्टफोन की, और सर ने बताया कि लोग अब जो है सस्ते कार खरीदना चाहते हैं, यानी कि सेकेंड हैंड कार, ठीक है ना। तो मैं सर के बात से एग्री करता हूँ। कहने का मतलब यह है कि लोगों के जो खर्च करने की कैपेसिटी है आज के डेट में बिल्कुल जीरो हो चुका है। वही बात रूपा जी जो है एक्सप्लेन करना चाह रही थी कि जैसे इनका काम है, लोग अब खर्च नहीं करना चाह रहे हैं अपने ऊपर या अपने घरों के ऊपर। पहले लोगों के पास पैसा होता था, वो घर में इन्वेस्ट करते थे कि हाँ चलो घर का डेकोरेशन करा लेते हैं, पेंटिंग करा लेते हैं या एक्स्ट्रा एक्स्ट्रा। लेकिन अब क्या होता है कि आप जो है देखते हैं, अरे नहीं, इतने पैसे का काम नहीं करना ये। तो आज के डेट में जो है कहने का मतलब यह है कि खर्च करने की कैपेसिटी जो है लोगों की, वो घट चुकी है।
Alright, so can we just get a quick, what is the solution then? Mr. Das, go ahead.
Well, I think we are confusing two issues. One is the today's problem, the real slowdown and the pain that is being experienced, which has been expressed by so many people. Then we are talking also at the same time of a target of 5 trillion, 10 trillion, 4 years out, 10 years out. And I personally think that it is achievable. Both are achievable, but it will require some pain. And I don't think
pain
meaning, like, for example, you know, the question is, where is the money going to come from? I suggested one of the things you have to do is get rid of a lot of the bleeding public sector. There are public sector employees who are going to rise up, and they're going to start screaming that even though we're not working.
So major reform is expected, which was promised in the first term, which never came, but now at least they have the numbers, both in the Rajya Sabha and in the Lok Sabha.
Yeah, and so the land bill, which was stuck, these things will be done. There are very good things that need to be done. But what I'm just saying is a major mindset change also has to be. And the Prime Minister has to tell the people in the Mann Ki Baat, ki look, now you can choose. We have decided to give a 5 trillion target, which means we are not working on Garibi Hatao. We are working on Amiri Lao. Now, Amiri Lao means that you've got to become an export, get rid of export pessimism, remove the tariffs, reduce the tariffs that you have raised, a real mindset change from export pessimism to export optimism. You have to cut subsidies. That if you want to grow the economy, there are a lot of subsidies like fertilizer subsidies, food subsidies, that will have to pay for it. That's what I meant by the pain that will be required.
Mr. Gulati,
countries have done it.
The auto sector, many would say, has been cushioned and, you know, protected and pushed by the governments in the past. But Mr. Das is saying that we should all be ready, that we're going to have to pay a price. There's going to be pain.
So actually, ma'am, the auto sector is the major sector, the big one sector. And it always is an indication of how the rural growth is happening. For the past many years, the growth what we in auto retails we are having is majorly based on the auto in the rural sector. The distress in rural sector, what the pain is being seen by them, it has not come in a year or so. It has been slowly cropped up. And this, if we see in 2008-09 also, it went so bad. And at that time, the government supported us with a 4% GST cut and excise duty cut, which gave the uptick. It took us 12 months to come back, and automatically, because of the price cut, the rural market supported it. No doubt we need rural support as of now. The government has to work something about
taxes, rural. Then where is it going to get the money to give the stimulus
It happens in a segment. Whenever we give discounts, the customer buy more vehicle, and in turn we earn more. So automatically, if we earn more, we pay more taxes on it.
As of today, our
vehicle are to a taxation of 49%. From 29% to 49%, one vehicle sold, 49% goes to the government. And if a 10% vehicle growth happens for 4% GST cut,
we need to do a separate show specifically
they'll
on the auto
earn
sector.
More than any auto manufacturer or a dealer.
Mr. Kochar, since you've been the most optimistic on the panel, closing words to you, 30 seconds, what does the government need to do?
Government already
See, all the answers are known. The government needs to just bring it all together. Where the investment is going to come from, I have told you. How to increase revenue from taxes without hurting anybody, I have told you. How to create job generative growth, I have told you. Look at MSMEs. So you look at all of this. But the big question is, can they bring it all together? The biggest challenge government faces is there is a huge gap between plan design and implementation. And there's also a very big gap between plan design and the felt need. If they can bring the felt needs, plan design and implementation together, so rein in the bureaucracy. That is my single message.
Okay, so can they bring it all together? We certainly all should hope and pray that they can, because we're all going to be affected. Thank you. We're out of time on We the People. This is a show where we believe it's important to speak up, but also important to listen. And I'm glad we did that today. Thank you. Good night.